All right. Good morning to all. This is the Psalms class, the Bible class portion of our service. If you would, turn to Psalm 78. And let's go ahead and pray before we start the class. Father in heaven, we're so grateful that we get to study your word. We're so grateful to be here together, to worship you, to learn about you, to draw closer to you. We pray that you will work through me in this class, that we will all hear what we need to hear, and that you will bless this service, that it will be pleasing to you, and that we will really just draw closer to you and be inspired to follow you every day. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This is, as you know, most of you, the Psalms class. We are in week 11. All right, we did Songs of Ascents last week, and we are doing historical psalms today, and then we got two more weeks after today. Oh, there we go. Historical psalms, and that's what we're doing. And my approach today, because if you did the homework and read Psalm 78, you notice that these are longer. It's almost like one of these psalms is like all of the songs of ascent put together. So I'm not going to read them all, but these are the psalms that we're going to be covering. There's other psalms that have historical pieces to it, but these are like primarily historical psalms. So we're going to stay on them. And what I will do is, we'll do some excerpts, but we're going to summarize the historical events and the characters that are covered and the lessons that are emphasized. So hopefully that will be good. But I think you will get the most out of this class if you go back and study these out later for yourself. Because, like I said, time doesn't allow reading them all. And I guess that's true for every class, not just for this one. I hope we're actually in the practice of doing that. That's one way to put into practice what we talked about last week, of participating in worship and not just coming and listening and not doing anything with it. But I will post this presentation along with the recording on the website. So that'll help as well later on. And like we talked about, trying to have a balance between, you know, loving the Lord your God with all your mind and with all your soul and your heart and your emotions. We've been doing a lot of the emotions part. Today we swing back to the more intellectual side of it. So a little bit of everything for everybody. But let's read some of Psalm 78 here. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by His law. They forgot what He had done, the wonders He had shown them. I love this intro because it kind of serves as an introduction for the whole theme of the historical Psalms. You know, verse 1 talks about, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. The word teaching there is actually Torah in Hebrew, which It's probably more accurately translated law. But it talks about the instructive, authoritative purpose of this psalm. And I think a lot of times we don't necessarily think of songs this way, as a tools of instruction or authority. But if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, the power of repetition, where when you just sing something over and over, and then you remember it better. And certainly music in general helps us to remember. And that's what Asaph here, the author, is talking about, remembering. Or in this case, not forgetting. And it talks about passing it on from generation to generation, which again, especially in the context of back then when they didn't have printing presses and people didn't have their own copies of the Bible like we do today, and we're going to talk about that a lot more next week when we talk about the Word of God Psalms. But they needed this oral tradition, and the songs were very helpful as a way of passing down this history from generation to generation. And it was very important. But I think we can learn from that as well. You know, we can use these stories in the Bible to teach our children about God. And not just cute little stories, because they can be. There's a lot of the stories in the Bible have a lot of entertainment value. But we don't want to just leave it at that with our kids. We want to teach our children about what these stories say about God to them. And we can also use songs to teach our children about God. I think our teachers in the kids' classes do a great job of doing that. And we can certainly do that as well. A lot of times the kids just like to sing, and so that's a great opportunity. As you sing these songs, you can talk about what they say about God, and it gets burned in their memory. And so those are all good things, and it's our responsibility to do that. There's a lot of characters, a lot of them are repeated in a lot of the Psalms, but the main character, the protagonist, if you will, is always God, okay? And so these stories again, these events, these things that people did are a way for us to learn about God. And there are two main approaches, as I put in there. One is kind of more the positive side, the carrot, if you will, and one's more the negative side, or the stick. You know, you got evidence of God's greatness, of who God is, great things that God did. And those are five of the seven. And then if you didn't figure it out from the intro, those of you who did the homework and read it know that Psalm 78 as well as 106 is more of a warning. It's kind of on the negative side. A warning about forgetting what God has done and the consequences of it. And so, and you know, the Bible is full of both of those. I think of the book of Deuteronomy that has blessings and curses on one mountain and the other, and you know, you got to have both. Sometimes we need to remember God's deliverance and be inspired, and we do that every week with communion. And other times what we really need is a reminder of the consequences of our unfaithfulness and our sin, that fear of God to help us when we are tempted. And we all, or hopefully most of us or all of us, remember fear of our parents. Fear of my dad kept me out of a lot of trouble. I still got in some, but that's a different sermon. All right, so in Psalm 78, you get a little bit of a back and forth. You get some history, things that God did, and then you get a switch to, but they forgot. And if you look in verse 17, right after it talks about the Exodus, it says, but they continued to sin against Him, rebelling in the desert against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the desert? When He struck the rock, water gushed out and streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us food? Can he supply meat for his people? When the Lord heard them, he was very angry. His fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel, for they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. And then it talks about all the punishment that God did. And then in verse 32, it said, in spite of all this, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror. Whenever God slew them, they would seek him. They eagerly turned to him again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But then they would flatter him with their mouth, lying to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time, he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the desert and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day he redeemed them from the oppressor, the day he displayed his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan. And then it talks about the plagues. And in verse 56, it says, but they put God to the test and rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes. Like their fathers, they were disloyal and faithless and unreliable as a faulty bow. They angered him with their high places. They aroused his jealousy with their idols. When God heard them, he was very angry. He rejected Israel completely. Verse 65. After more punishment. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, as a man wakes from the stupor of wine. He beat back his enemies. He put them to everlasting shame. Then he rejected the tents of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. But he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built a sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. A bit of a positive ending, but for the most part, you get the general idea, right? It's just this back and forth. They don't learn. They forget. And it's a warning to us of what happens when we forget. And usually that leads to sin and punishment and heartache. And so hopefully we can learn from the mistakes of others. That's a lot of what the Bible is there for, what a lot of these stories, the bad ones anyway, the story of them rebelling that it summarizes here is warnings for us. That's what Hebrews says, right? Now, we should learn from our own mistakes as well, but that's more painful, I think. We can save ourselves going through that if we just learn from the mistakes of others. You know, let other people go through the pain of being punished by God. I'm just saying. But, you know, the lessons of history, this is what we're talking about, should change our behavior. And, you know, definitely, I mean, sometimes we don't learn any other way. We make mistakes, and hopefully we don't just keep doing the same thing over and over and going through the same heartache over and over. It's been said that's the definition of insanity, right? You just do the same thing over and over, and you expect different results. Now, our own lessons, and certainly the lessons of the Bible, the lessons of history, should change our behavior and should keep us from making the mistakes that others have made. And it just goes much better for ourselves. And I think sometimes we shy away from from these stories with our kids, and we, you know, we focus more on the positive ones, but you know, we need a balance with them too. You know, they need both sides. Age appropriate, of course. You know, there are some things that might be kind of scary to talk to them about, but you see a lot of the stories there that we're covering, and we read some of it. Psalm 106. That's the other negative one, if we want to call it that. Of course, they're all positive if you learn from them. I had to make the fun on this one smaller because it talks about a lot of different events. And you know, one thing on that is we have the benefit of the big picture of history, of going back and seeing, you know, that's why I think sometimes it's good to read a whole book instead of just focusing on chapter at a time before you read the whole book, because you get the big picture and you get to see, looking back, all that God did, and wow, you get to be amazed, and you get to see some of the lessons aren't as clear if you just focus on one little story. And I think these Psalms help us with that when we see the whole history of Israel and how, you know, they kept rebelling, they kept forgetting, and what happened, and we can learn from that big picture as well. But it talks about the Red Sea and quail and earth swallowing Dathan and the golden calf. And then when God was about to destroy Israel and Moses prayed for him not to do that. Then, you know, going into the promised land, the 10 spies who convinced the whole nation not to go in because of their lack of faith. Talks about Phinehas when they worshiped Baal and they married foreign women. Talks about Moses striking the rock in anger. This whole period of the Exodus was key to a lot of these Psalms. It's repeated over and over. And, you know, the Israelites were meant to learn from the lessons of the Exodus. And a lot of them were bad. A lot of them, you know, they spent 40 years instead of a few months in the desert because they did not learn. They did not believe, even though they saw the miracles. Look in verse 40. After all these things, the oppression, the Canaanite, they didn't obey God once they went into the promised land either. Verse 40 says, therefore the Lord was angry with his people and abhorred his inheritance. He handed them over to the nations, and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected them to their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion and they wasted away in their sin. But he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love he relented. He caused them to be pitied by all who held them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. And we get, obviously, more consequences of forgetting God, but it also ends up with a tone of remembering God's mercy. You know, and the lessons that even through all of that, God kept having mercy on them. And it begs God to have mercy on them once again. And certainly that's a lesson. It's never too late to repent for us as well. I think sometimes we get frustrated with ourselves and perhaps we repeat a mistake or we repeat a sin and we start thinking that we can't change. No, it's never too late to repent. You can always come to God for mercy and just keep striving to be better. And that's a good lesson as well. All right, Psalm 104. A lot of these are back-to-back, so it's kind of makes it easy for us. The main character other than God here is nature. talks about the clouds, the wind, the oceans and streams, the mountains, all kinds of different animals, rain and food, plants, celestial bodies, and man as well. You can go back and read all of it later, but certainly it's good to think about that. The psalm starts with, "Praise the Lord, O my soul," and it ends with, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And in the middle, it recounts all those things that God created. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's one of the biggest things that helps me praise God. And I think I always pray better when I just go outside and pray. And I'm in nature, and I'm looking at the trees that are pointing up towards God, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm a bit of a geek sometimes with my engineering background, so I think about the sun and the stars and the nuclear fusion reactions that are going on and all that stuff, and I'm like, wow, the power of God. And you know, the Bible tells us that creation is evidence of the existence of God. Alan did a class on that a few weeks ago where he spent some time talking about that, better probably than I could. But the creation helps us to praise God. And that's a good way to really, if you're having a hard time with your prayers or whatever, that's one way to, if you're just doing the same thing, mix it up, go somewhere, have a retreat outside. Just some time by yourself, you know, spend many hours praying to God in creation, and it'll help you. Psalm 107. It's interesting, the main characters there, they're unnamed, some and others. You'll see what I mean. Verse 4, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. Verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Verse 10, some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Verse 13, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. You see a pattern? I think that was the chorus. Verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, there's that phrase again, and His wonderful deeds for men. Verse 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. Verse 19, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. I bet some of you already memorized that little saying there. Repetition, right? Verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. I guess that became part of the chorus as well. Verse 23, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. Verse 28, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. Verse 31, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. And verse 43, whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. It's a great psalm, and it's positive. It's a very positive note, but it uses a lot of examples of distress, of people in trouble and how God delivered them. And how, you know, the story didn't necessarily start out positive, but how it ended up is what inspires us. And obviously, again, you know, these aren't necessarily lessons from the stories in the Bible. They're just miscellaneous people that have been through difficulties. But we can learn from that as well. We can remember our own deliverance. And the idea here is that we can have gratitude for those things. And we can certainly be encouraged by others' deliverance. It was awesome. On Friday, Millie was baptized. And many of us were there. Amen. And, you know, it's just encouraging. And you see that family, you know, Francisco was baptized months ago, and now his mom was baptized. And it's just encouraging to see that. It's an awesome thing. And the people that were involved in that were encouraged to see it and how she's changed and how God's working. And you can dream about how God's going to work in the future. And it just helps. It helps us when we see others turn to God. A lot of times when we study the Bible with somebody, we end up even more convicted ourselves from the Bible and from seeing them change and realizing, you know, I need to change in this area too myself. And, you know, how can I be teaching this if I'm not living it? And it's helpful. And so, you know, sometimes we feel like evangelism is a chore, but it really shouldn't be. It's something that's good for us. It's something that God gave us. It's a way for us to stay refreshed and to remember, like we're talking about here, remember our deliverance. Remember how God has worked in our lives and how He can continue to work, and a way for us to be challenged, to continue to repent, to continue to mature, to continue to grow. And those are great lessons that we need to remember. All right, Psalm 135. I hope I'm not going too fast, but I'm trying to give you a good flavor for all of these. And like I said, study them out some more later, and I give you the general lesson, and you can elaborate on it. Maybe you can write your own lesson. Again, it focuses on nature, and this one, The human characters on it are all people who were struck down by God. The firstborn of Egypt, Pharaoh, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, all the kings of Canaan, those are the characters. And you know, you say, how's that positive? Well, it's positive for the Israelites, because they were on the good side of that. They were the winners in those battles. And that this is actually one of the songs of ascents, one of the ones we didn't read last week. So, you know, it starts with praise the Lord, and it's a song to praise God that they sang on the way to Jerusalem, on the way on their pilgrimages. And they just remembered the victories that God had given them. And just the evidence that it provides that God is great. That's the lesson. You know, as we look back at history, a lot of the lessons are simply to tell us how great God is. Certainly the creation and all these miraculous victories. Against all odds, they had those victories, and God is great. That's the lesson. Look in verse 15. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak, eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, nor is their breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, praise the Lord. O house of Aaron, praise the Lord. O house of Levi, praise the Lord. You who fear Him, praise the Lord. Praise be to the Lord from Zion, to Him who dwells in Jerusalem, praise the Lord. And that's how it ends. These nations that lost these battles had the idols of wood and metal and stone, and they didn't do anything for them. And they could rejoice because they serve God, who's alive and who's powerful. Psalm 136 has the same characters who were struck down, but it focuses a bit more on the creation. Again, you know, evidence of the greatness of God, but the focus of this one, and it repeats it over and over, is His love endures forever. I think Steve read this one in one of his lessons. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Again, that repetition. You know, it's one verse about one of these kings, His love endures forever. And that's how the psalm goes. And, you know, there's a lot of thanksgiving in this psalm as well, is the tone of it. Thanksgiving for being freed from all these enemies that in most cases were more powerful than them from a physical point of view, on paper, if you will, but obviously they weren't because God wasn't with them. And that's why they were encouraged. I don't want to speak of Thanksgiving too much because that's 2 weeks from now. But, you know, there's obviously going to be a lot of overlap in this. Psalm 105. I really like this one. Let's read a bit of it. Psalm 105, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength, seek His face always, remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac. And this is a theme here, the whole theme of the covenant that He made with Abraham. If you look in verse 42, after it talks about all these characters, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, and what happened with Joseph, and again the Exodus, the plagues, all of that, which is over 500 years of history, by the way, summarized in this one psalm. Verse 42 says, "For He remembered His holy promise given to His servant Abraham. He brought out His people with rejoicing, His chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep His precepts and observe His laws. Praise the Lord." Do you notice that emphasis on God keeping His promises? The covenant that He made with Abraham? Like I said, that's 500 years. And that's the same thing that happened with Daniel and his prophecies about the Messiah and the coming of God's kingdom on earth, which happened over 500 years later as well. Or Isaiah, similar prophecies which were fulfilled over 700 years later. And it's important for us to remember that because we get impatient with our, you know, 5 minutes that we don't get that what we just prayed for. I was talking to Cynthia about this lesson and what the theme was, and she's like, "Oh, I love those psalms because they make me think, what is it again that I think God can't do?" And, you know, hopefully it has that effect. That's the general idea of seeing this big picture and remembering what God has done, that it helps us to remember that God can do anything. I mean, God got upset at Sarah for laughing and believing that something could be too hard for God, and she didn't have the benefit of all of this. She was in the moment. We have this big picture. We have this whole Bible for our benefit. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I need inspiration, you know, sometimes you need different things. You need to be convicted. You need to repent. Sometimes you just need to be inspired. You need something positive. You need to be encouraged. I like to go to the Old Testament and just read a lot of these stories. And just see the miracles of God. Because it's the Bible teaching us about God, but by example. You know, a lot of times, like in the Psalms, a lot of the Psalms that Steve talked about, the Hallelujah Psalms, the attributes of God, the Bible tells us about God directly. You know, and Steve covered all those attributes and omnipresence and, you know, a lot of big words, right? And, you know, that's good. But then the historical Psalms illustrate, they show us those same lessons about God. It's like Jesus said in John 14, you know, if you don't believe when I say it, at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. And, you know, we kind of need both of those in evangelism as well, right? I mean, we teach people about God. We tell people about God. We teach people what the Bible says and about repentance and about being a disciple. But if they don't see it in our lives, then, you know, the message is probably going to get lost. But we need both. You know, sometimes we talk about letting our light shine, but that doesn't mean not talking. As if you could just... I'm shining. You got to be an example, but then you got to tell him what you're an example of, right? And it works both ways, and that's the historical Psalms. They really show us who God is by what he did. And Jesus was the representation of God. You know, we don't understand love, the love of God that the Bible tells us about, anywhere near as well as we can because of Jesus, because God himself came and lived as a man, and we can understand God's love much better by what he sacrificed for us. And so we believe what the Bible says about by remembering what he has done. And that's true both, obviously, from the Psalms and from the Old Testament and the New Testament, but also in our lives. Hopefully, you know, I mean, that's the whole point of communion, right? We remember. We remember what Jesus did. We remember Jesus, but we also make it personal. We remember what he's done for us, how that applies to us. I mean, I think about how God has orchestrated events in my life, just even bringing me away from my country and my family. And I thought that was so I could study engineering, which I did, but that wasn't really the point. God had a different plan. I mean, I never thought I was going to stay here. And here I am, you know, 18 years later, a disciple of Jesus. And, you know, trying to help other people, especially the Latin American community here, which, you know, many of you can't speak Spanish. I can, so God had a plan. And I think about how he's worked through events and people, and, you know, I can't help but believe in the power of God. And how he knew ahead of time what needed to happen, and he just set it up perfectly. And hopefully we all feel that way about how God has worked in our lives. Don't forget. Remember. Especially when we do communion, don't take that lightly. I mean, it's so important to remember, not to forget, and to be both warned and inspired. And so I hope you will study these historical Psalms and have both of those. Be warned to remember, to not forget, and be inspired about what God has done. Next week, we're doing Word of God homework. If you're brave enough for it, read Psalm 119. Most of you know that's the longest chapter in the Bible, and that's mostly what we're going to talk about next week. So don't wait till, you know, 10 p.m. on Saturday to start. But this concludes this class. If you have your kids in class, go get them and then come back for the rest of the worship.